Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I'm going to read out of Colossians chapter 1. I just had just Colossians 1 keep coming up in my heart. And so we're just going to kind of go through some of Colossians 1 tonight. How many of you are glad you're part of the body of Christ? It's a good thing, isn't it? Paul was praying for the church of Colossae, and listen to what he prayed. He said, for this reason, verse 9, Colossians 1. He said, Colossians 1, 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let me stop here for a moment. Remember, though, you could say these are written to you and to me as individuals. Yet we always want to hold in context, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae. Certainly these have a personal, individual application. All these verses do. But sometimes I think in our desire to walk with the Lord personally, we sometimes miss that there's a broader context of just our individual lives. The broader context of our individual victories and our individual defeats. That's why the Bible says when weep with those that weep, mourn with those that mourn, rejoice with those that rejoice. We're members one of another. Because if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. And so sometimes I think it's easy to lose the greater context of the body. You know, this is Wednesday night, and I don't want to draw conclusions that you're a mature believer, but usually, to be just candid, people that show up on Wednesday night just have a typically deeper they just have a deeper walk with God on a typical basis. There may be exceptions to that. But because coming on Wednesday night, you don't get here. It's not like Sunday. You can't just fall into church, so to speak. Wednesday night, you came really on purpose. How many of you went to work today? How many of you are a little tired? And how many of you even still hungry? Didn't even eat yet. So, I mean, come on now. I mean, just hungry and tired. That's two obstacles most people don't make through. All right? Now, I'm saying that to say this to you. There's things that I want to entrust to you to pray through and to support in prayer and to gain an understanding of as I start to roll some things out to the broader, larger congregation. Now, I'm not diminishing the people that come on the weekend don't love the Lord. I'm not saying that. I realize some people, just pure distance-wise, there's probably half of our church that cannot logistically get back here on a Wednesday night. And that which notice that Paul prayed for the church. He said, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If you will remember probably, 4 years ago or so, I started to bring ministers in here to do their life lessons. And we put them we recorded them on DVD. We wrote workbooks. People in our church wrote the workbooks to them. And we have those, and we use those, and people go to classes with those. That was born out of a great desire I have as a pastor to see people grow up spiritually, to see people be able to not just get saved and maybe even spirit-filled, but to become skillful in the Word of God. To be really candid, I wanted you to be able to have access to the same messages, the same revelation from God's Word that helped me to be able to develop my own personal spiritual life. And I also knew that that wasn't possible to do just simply on a weekend. In fact, if you go back, you know, just say 20 years ago in church life, the average church had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you know, the Sunday night, Wednesday night crowd were smaller and reduced. And yet I was finding it very, very frustrating as a pastor and feeling almost like I wasn't meeting the responsibility of the call of God to see people develop spiritually. So we went through a lot of effort to do that. And I'm not unhappy that we did it. But I knew that doing it, because I checked many, 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 many other churches, try to find somebody who was doing what we were trying to do, where you could actually take a class instead of coming to church on Sunday. And I wasn't finding any churches doing it. So I knew there was a risk to it as far as it's being fruitful and successful and catching on. And it didn't catch on. Now, a lot of people took it, but not the percentages that I knew would enable us to be able to cause people to have the platform to grow spiritually. So I want people to be able to take the Word of God into everyday life. I want someone to know what to do with God's Word in their marriage, in raising their kids, in their finances, in their physical body, in their mental, in their emotional well-being. Because all of these areas in our life are subject to attack. And if you've lived any length of time, probably all of those areas have come under attack in your life. And I don't want people just throwing a prayer in the air, kind of saying, "Oh, Lord, you know, help us, please, Jesus." And that's all they know what to do with. If that's all you know, that's good. That's good, but there's more. And I wanted people to have a skill to be able to take the Word of God by grace through faith into every arena of life. And that is happening across the board all the time here, and I'm thankful for it. And yet I spent years looking at this and praying about that and investigating this and talking to pastors, and I found pastor after pastor after pastor were sharing my frustration, particularly in churches that were growing. You know, if a church has the same people for 10 years in it, virtually, well, you can go a lot deeper with that same group of people if there's not continually people being saved. But how many of you know Jesus intended his church to grow? Right? He wanted us to go reach the world. So I began to talk to some pastors. We would talk about our concerns. And one after another began to talk to me about a certain process. And so I heard one talk about it. I heard another talk about it. Heard another talk about it. And finally had the opportunity to witness part of it for myself. And then we did much deeper investigation. I rolled out part of it on Sunday when I talked to you about the four simple things that I want to see happen in everybody who's a part of the life of this church. Is I want them to be committed to come on the weekends. I don't mean if you're on vacation or something like that. I'm talking about making a part of your lifestyle. Come to church every weekend. Don't come twice a month. Don't come every, you know, first and ninth Sunday. Come every week and make it a part of your life. If you're coming to Victory, come all the time. Just come on Saturday or Sunday. Man, it's an hour and 10 minutes. Hour and 15 minutes. Come on. And when you come, make it a part of your life to bring people with you that don't know Jesus and use it as a tool of evangelism. And as we go into this new facility, guys, we are about to, I don't have words for it. What we're about to see and experience is going to be, it's going to be so incredible. And it's so humbling to get to even be a part of it. And yet I know that it's just not about getting people saved. And so I want to encourage people. If you're a part of Victory, come on the weekends and bring people with you. Do your best to get people here that don't know Jesus. Use it as a witnessing tool. The second thing I'm going to want everyone to do is to go through the growth track. Now, many of you are already members at Victory. And we talked about 101, 201, 301, and 401. 101 is basically a church membership class where people can become a member right there. And we work with them. And it's basically a kick the tires class. What's this church about? What do you believe? How do I connect? Well, how do I become a member? 201 is an essentials class that we actually teach people the very basics of studying your Bible, how to grow spiritually, and to put them on a track of continuum for that. But it's just one class. 301 is a gift assessment where you kind of come together and it's a discovery time when you find out what's in you, what grace deposits God's put in you, the things that the head of the church put in you. Now, I'm going to ask everybody to go through 301 and 401, even if you're a member, even if you're serving, because I want you to have the opportunity to be assessed in a way that can make certain for yourself, not for us, but for yourself, that you are in the place God has you to be in the ministry capacity of your life. And then the fourth thing is to serve somewhere, to get involved in some capacity of service. And I should say, and the third one would be small, get in a small group. And we're going to in the fall in earnest. And I mean, now listen, guys, this is going to be a major emphasis of this church. Now, for years, I've watched small groups in different ways, and I've been very dissatisfied, very, very dissatisfied with them, because I didn't see them doing the things that they were purporting to do. I would talk to pastors who were doing them, and they said, there's some really good things that happen, but A, B, and C that you're trying to see happen, John, we really are not seeing happen at the level that you're talking about. And yet, I've found a system that is producing what I want to see produced in people. And it's a system that gives people an entry level to almost you could say this, from a kindergarten level all the way to a college level and anywhere in between on three separate trimesters. And we'll explain all this in great detail, but we're going to launch this in earnest, and I want everyone in this church to be in a small group. Here's the nice thing about them. They have a beginning and they have an end. And they're free market. What does that mean? That if no one goes to them, they die. They live or die based on people connecting to them. And so a small group can be as simple as a group of people that run together. And there'll be a leader that will work with those people. It could be guys that go shooting, or ladies that go shooting for that matter. It could be anything, a bowling group. It can be a group and those are just entry-level things that people, you can connect new believers to. Interest things that somebody connects the Word of God to it in not a Bible study every time they meet, but let's get together and make connections for people. And then right on the other side of that, we're going to be able to take things like our grief share class that has helped hundreds and hundreds of people, and have that distributed all throughout the region that our church touches. That could be going on in 10 different places. And different classes, all the classes that we put together. Now they aren't going to be limited to a service time. They can be going on everywhere. And we're going to be, and you Wednesday night people, listen, I'm not putting you above anybody else, but typically, again, you're hungry and you're tired. You came to church. So many of you have things in you that this is going to give you the opportunity to lead in ministry in a way. Time and time and time and time and time again, people come up to me, and I don't mean once in a while, I mean every week. Pastor John, this is in my heart. This is in my heart. This is in my heart. And the framework of what we can do here doesn't facilitate it. And I was frustrated with it. I said, Lord, all these things I know you've put in people's hearts to do, I want to see those things facilitated in people. And now as people have been coming up to me, I've been able to say to them, coming this fall, I have an answer for you. And you are going to be able to take an area, maybe that is a great passion to you, and take an established teaching material or develop your own. Put together a small group. It'll have parameters to it. It'll have to be approved. There's a process. But guys, it's going to be an incredible opportunity for people, because this is a regional church. If you took somebody from both extremes and they were going to go visit each other, it would be a 2-hour drive from one house to the other. And these are people that come weekly. So on one extreme, they drive an hour, another extreme. So you can understand people in that far out, it's hard for them to integrate. Somebody came up to me Sunday. They drive up from the south side. And they said, we come up with our daughters, and their daughters, one was out of high school, one was, I think, in 10th grade. So we love Victory. Pastor, we just know it's impossible to be involved at any intimate level, but we just come here every weekend. I said, you know what? That's about to change. Because what we're about to do this fall is going to let you be able to do something for God and connect right where you live. So there's a lot of wonderful things happening. And I say that to you in the context of Colossians, when Paul prayed that the will of God would be manifested, they would know the will of God and walk in the will of God and the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Those are prayers I pray for myself over this church. And it's going to be an incredible thing as we move into this new facility, guys. There's going to be an influx of people. And we are going to see people saved in numbers that are incredible. And you and I, listen, those of you who have been in the Lord, God's going to use you to help disciple these people. See, we are members of the body of Christ, members in particular. God didn't call pastors to simply, we are to disciple one another. And this process is going to enable some of you who have been sitting on gifts for years and not really had the outlet for it. And the nice thing about it, they're on three separate trimesters, so you don't have to do them all three times. You can lead one once and go to the other ones. And there's going to be such a variety, you'll find something that'll be of interest to you. And there'll be more things we'll have to explain to you as we go forward, but I'm trying to give you a little bit more context than I'm even able to give on a weekend right now, because I want you to be praying about it. I want you to be informed about it. And I want you to help lead with me. I want you to be able to go forward with this. And when these doors begin to open, I expect, by the grace of God upon your life, walk through them. I'm sure I'm going to want everybody here to get in a small group. But I'll tell you, for many, many, many of you, you should lead one. There are things on the inside of you you've been sitting on for years. And you can lead one. And it can go to whatever level of depth, or it can go wherever God is putting you. Again, we're going to approve the curriculums and the things people teach. If somebody wants to come in and say, look, I want to teach on Buddhism and how to be a Buddhist, we're not going to do that. Okay? So we're not talking about just free for all. There'll be certain guardrails or guide rails, but in those guide rails, we want your gifts to flourish. There's going to be a tremendous amount of pastoral care happen in those settings. I think we do a very good job for a church this size of pastoral care. It's about to get 10 times better. We're about to be able, that when somebody goes into any type of distress, to know who they have been intimately connected to through the system. So that if, let's say, just case in point, somebody's in a car accident, they're in the hospital. Their husband is having to feed their kids. How many of you know that is desperate? And the person's not life-threatening, but they're laid up. And we've seen they've been in three small groups. And we know who they're connected to in their small groups. And we get to be able to contact those people. How many of you are connected to so-and-so? And now, the five or six people that are contacting this woman are her friends. Are people she spent time with. People who have prayed for her already. The leaders of her small group have called her and checked on her every week for that period of time and have prayed for her. And now you have a level of connectivity and a level of care that no matter how large we get, if you're in a small group in this church, you're going to get a level of care that is going to be as intimate as if you were in a church of 70 people. And those are the kind of things as we grow larger. I don't want to have a Walmart church, a super Walmart where people come in and leave. That is not what we're called to do. And so in making these adjustments, it is to serve people more effectively. And I just wanted to lay that out before you, and I really didn't intend to spend that much time on it tonight. But it has just been coming up in my heart. I was reading through Colossians 1 today, and it kept coming into my heart. Let's take a little bit further here. Paul prayed for this reason, verse 9 again of Colossians 1. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, or fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Verse 9 through 11 is, I tell you, it's the heart cry for every pastor I know to see develop in the people that they serve. It's the heart cry for my own life as well, by the way. I long to see people live this way. Not just say, Jesus is my Lord, but that they are filled with the knowledge of God's will for their life. That they know how to walk worthy of the Lord to please Him. They know how to be fruitful in every good work, and they are increasing in the knowledge of God. That they are people that are strengthened with His might, that's His power, according to His glorious power, with all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, he goes on to say, that they would be people that would give thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I want you to know your inheritance. I want you to know what belongs to you in Christ. It's a desperation in my heart as a pastor. And look, I know we win people to Jesus. And we will always do that. And the weekends are always going to be a time that I will always have in my heart. And God has dealt with me to do it that way. That every time I preach, you need to understand, I'm always ministering to the believer, but always in my heart is the person who's in the room that doesn't know Jesus. It doesn't matter. I can't. It's not that I try to do it. I can't but do it. There is a grace that comes on me that I'm thinking, what if I'm sitting in that room and I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't know anything about God. Can I leave this place by what you say, knowing how to walk with Him, knowing how to be saved? That almost, I don't know how to put it in words, it compels me. But in that compelling focus, I have not lost the desire to see these things develop in people. And I know we have a handful of our congregation that comes on a Wednesday night. Just a handful. And we get to get a little deeper with you on Wednesday nights. And yet, for the broader body of Christ, the broader group of people that we're called to reach, it's an aching. It would be similar to saying if you had four children and you had two of them that you were able to impart to, but two you couldn't. The two you were imparting to, you'd be thrilled. You'd say, oh, I want to continue that. But the other two, you'd be desperate to change that, wouldn't you? That's what a pastor goes through. Now, I would tell you this. Some pastors have just simply given up on it. And they said, well, we're just going to get people saved and you know, let people go off on their own, do the best they can. And maybe that's, I don't know, I'm not judging them for it. I can't. It burns in my soul to see what Paul prayed in Colossians be real in my life, in your life, on a day-to-day basis. That what I just read works in your marriage. Do you know how to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing as a husband? Not just know how, but know how to be empowered to do it. To walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing in being a wife or a mom or a dad or an employer or an employee. Ultimately, not just on a personal level. But guys, I don't have words for this. Sometimes I guess you almost have to experience things to understand them. Where we're about to go, for 20 years I have seen. When we started this church in 1993, and I'll be really candid with you, I don't even go out there very much. Maybe once every week or two. You say, well, aren't you excited about the building? I'm going to be really candid with you. No. I'm happy about it, but I can't tell you how little I care about the physical building. I don't even go out and look at it much. Let me tell you what I'm thrilled about, what's going to happen in that building. Because every time I walk out there, I want you to understand something. I saw the building. I've been seeing that in here for 20 years. It was beyond 20 years ago when God dealt with me that we'd be used to build something like that. Let me tell you what compels me, what's going to happen in those rooms. What overwhelms me is that I realize that we are months away from stepping into a place in this church where we will go from, you know, 2,500, 2,800 people here on a weekend, that could very easily double inside of 18 months. And not double with people from other churches. I'm not talking about pulling people out of other churches. I mean, that happens in every church. People come and move around. That's okay. That happens. But I'm talking about people that today are undone without Christ. Today their marriages are broken. Today their kids are messed up. And if it's something doesn't stop to interrupt that, there's going to be devastation that doesn't have to happen. That the gospel can put a stop to it. That's not going to happen because some pastor gets up in a big old room and talks. It's going to happen when the body of Christ serves. Four things. Come here on a weekend and get people saved. Get people here. Go through the growth track. Get in a small group and get busy doing something for God. For some of you, that'll be leading a small group. For some of you, it'll be doing what you do already. Some of you will shift gears and go to different places in this ministry. Every one of you in this room is a minister of the gospel. Every one of you is a staff member of this church. You say, I'm not on staff. You're just unpaid staff, but you're on staff. I'm telling you, the head of the church has put you in the body. Let's go on reading. Verse 12, he said, give thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance and the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Say it out loud, I am delivered. And it's conveyed to us, unto us, has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption. Say, I have redemption. These are things that all belong to you. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things consist. Think about God that's in you. How many of you know Genesis says, in the beginning was God? God was before the beginning. He was just be. He was. Before the beginning was God. Now try to get your mind around there. You can have 10,000 PhDs and your mind's going to go, bzzz. I can see maybe God, eternity, future. That's easier to kind of somehow wrap your mind around. But eternity past, without beginning. This God lives in you, dwells in you, walks in you. This God didn't just save us. He came and made His home and abode in us. He made us of His own. He didn't just call us and cleanse us and say, you know, you're my cleansed servants. He adopted us as sons and daughters. He made us part of the family. He became our Father. We became partakers of divine nature. This world, the only hope of this nation, and God knows it's not government, and God knows it's not political parties. To be candid, there's more, you watch it and it's just the disgust you feel as there's the corruption and the money that buys stuff from votes and the last thing that's being concerned is the future of our kids. I don't care which party you like, because they both have shots at it and they both have used their power to stay in power. The only hope of this world are the people of God. By the way, the only hope of our government ever having any kind of semblance of sense is if God's people, if there's a revival in this nation among God's people and people get saved. Because then wisdom will direct the majority of people. And then you'll have a government that reflects wisdom instead of the cultural stupidity. The only hope of the world is the church, because Jesus is the only hope of the world. Listen to what he went on to say. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now look at verse 18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body. That's you. Now everything he just said, he is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. How many of you know our God wants to have preeminence in all things on the earth? But notice here, he's only the head of the church. He did that by design. How many of you know Jesus was the ultimate delegator? He left the commission and left the planet. Didn't he? He left us a commission and left the planet and sent his spirit to enforce his commission and enable us and grace us to do it. He's the head of the church and you're the body. I'm the body. And what's come in my heart to do, and there will be some more changes that will have to be facilitated to bring all this to pass. And I'll ask you to trust me in the changes. Some of them, you'll say, well, that's fine. Some of them, you may maybe, you know, they may bump your brain a little bit, but that's all right. Because I'm telling you where we're headed. God needs you out of the seat and into the game. And I don't mean just serving in the capacity of during services now, which is very important, and I'm not minimizing any of that. But I know by the Word of God, I know by talking to people, I know by the Spirit of God, there is so much sitting on the inside of so many of you that needs to be released in a practical ministry capacity where you can be imparting to other people. And it is my hope to see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of small groups in the next 3 years, where every week of every day of every week, and there'll be a few spots where we'll ask people not to do them, but very few, ministry will be going on through your life to people everywhere within the 1 hour circumference of this church where people drive from. And people, some people drive further. But all around it, God being using you. It's not going to be burdensome. It's 3 times a year. And you don't have to lead it 3 times a year. And by the way, you can develop one that's so much a part of your life, you can do it 3 times a year if you want to. It's an amazing, I'm telling you guys, not just what we're going to experience in seeing this great harvest of people, but by you taking your place, we're going to see those people become this, Colossians 1, 9 through 18. That's what Jesus wants for people. And He's going to use you to bring it to pass. Some of you have been sitting under the Word of God 5, 10, 15 years. Remember Paul wrote, or if you believe he wrote Hebrews, I do, he said, by this time, you ought to be teachers. And then he went on to tell them that they didn't even, they had let go of even the foundations. But what? Let me say this. By this time, you're qualified to be teachers. By this time, you're ready to be ministers. By this time, you're ready to take people under your care. And I'm telling you guys, when we watch this happen over, and it's going to take 18 months to 2 years to really get this thing moving strongly. You get two, three years into this, every week there will be thousands of people, and people that don't even come to church here on the weekend, who'll be coming to a small group. And then we're going to have a way to get the small groups to get them here for celebration times. And if they're not saved in the small group, they'll get saved here. And we are going to see, listen to me, not just, you know, a couple thousand here a year. I'm talking about thousands of people every year getting saved. Thousands of people getting filled with the Spirit. Thousands of people getting caught up and full up and filled up with the Word of God. And He's going to use you. Now, we've had a 19-year run to get this good foundation built. How many of you are glad you got to be a part of Victory and it was real little? Amen? Just a few thousand. Aren't you glad when you're here in the little days? Praise God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I want to be in a church that big. Sure you do. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you know a lot of people in heaven? How many are you going to get to heaven and say, Jesus, I just didn't like it this big? Do you know that your obedience enlarges heaven and winning people to Christ plunders hell and populates heaven? Think about it. Man, I'll tell you, it's an incredible thing. Let's finish up here in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus, in Him, all the fullness should dwell. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth, things in the earth, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Aren't you glad God's made peace because of Jesus? Now look at verse 21 and 2. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled. How about this? In the body of His flesh, through His death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. If you want to take verse 9 through 22, verse 9 through 22 is my heart cry for every person under the care of this church. Every person that's raised their hand and said, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to see verse 9 through 22 in a 3 to 5 year window of their life become real. For every man in this that comes in, and guys, we started Victory Family Church with the intent of reaching the whole family, not just women. And men come to this church. And men are finding out that that women are not more spiritual than men. They just process spirituality differently. I want to see a church full of men that have heads at their home. That process spirituality like a man, and it's okay to process it like a man. And we don't have to diminish how a woman processes spirituality. Both are of God. Both are a reflection of who God is. He made man, male and female. He made man in His image. And so you put men and women together, you get a picture of God. I want to see a church full of men that walk with God. That raise their sons to be men of God. To not be ashamed to walk with God. To not be ashamed to go to college as a virgin. and to keep themselves before God because they want God's best. Because, oh, our children are growing up in a culture. Oh, they're growing up in a culture that's dark. And man, we need strong marriages for our kids. So Pastor Wynn, we've already kind of messed that one up, and we're kind of just trying to pick up the pieces. Well, let me tell you something. Pick them up. And let God be God in your life. And just stop beating yourself up. And as your kids get older, you sit down and talk to them about the stuff you messed up. Tell them, honey, we're doing this because we don't want you to know our pain. We want you to walk with God so you don't ever have to pick up the pieces that we had to pick up in life. I'll tell you guys, we're talking months now. We're about to launch something, and we get into these small groups this fall. And I'll give you some more of the explanations as we go forward. It will take a little time for that to all catch and to get going. But let me say something to you. This is not something we're just going to do a little bit of. This is the direction we are going. And you see, it's not that big of a difference, to be honest with you. The growth track we have now, but it's more fragmented. We want it to be clear and simple. That you know what happens the first, second, third, fourth Sunday night of every month. And the first Sunday night of every month, Michelle and I will be here doing a class. We'll feed you, take care of your kids, and then we'll do that week 2, 3, and 4. And we're going to get people are going to get hooked up. And guys, if we can get the percentage of this church above 50% serving, which is almost miraculous in the world we live today in the church, you get it up to 60, 70%, I'm telling you guys, if the body serves at 60, 70% in this church, we will see a move of God that will be unparalleled in our generation in the Northeast. That's not an exaggeration. We will see something that the Bible would say the prophets of old longed to see. And this is not just a pie in the sky. This is going to come to pass. And I tell you this with the same complete conviction that when I stood in a cinema with 33 people and spoke words about today that bounced off the wall and hit me in the head because people thought it was nuts. I'm telling you, it will come to pass, and God's going to use you. And it is going to be incredible. Amen? Let's pray together. Amen? Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for your great grace that's upon us. I thank you for your great mercy that's from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, I thank you for the people in this room. So many, like they said, they came hungry, they came tired, but they came. And Lord, I know that there are things burning on the inside of them that you desire to use. And Lord, I know now is the season in this church that those gifts are soon to be released. And we are going to see things, Lord, that many in heaven have prayed for, that we have yearned for, that many in this room have prayed for. And I thank you that it's going to happen in such a measure that, Lord, that we ourselves can't begin to imagine the good that will be done and the help that will come and the lives that are hurting and broken that will be restored. Father, we're so grateful for that. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. The first thing I want to make sure you get tonight on this Wednesday night is to know you have a Savior. So if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you drew your final breath and were to slip off into an eternity, where would you spend it? Please don't leave here without making Christ the Lord of your life. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in the prayer to invite Christ in my heart. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, right where you're seated. Would you just lift your hand right now so I could see it, and I'll pray for you? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just want to make certain everybody here knows the Lord. Praise God. Before I turn it over to Pastor Steve, can I ask you, in your time when you pray, would you just pray some of these things out? If you're filled with the Spirit, pray it out in the Spirit for me. These things are bottled up on the inside of me as your pastor. And this is as real to me as 20 years ago when this church started. And I'm telling you, it is going to be as expansive and it is going to be more fruitful than I think, that I know that I can even wrap my mind around. Please be praying that as this unfolds, that it unfolds with wisdom, with clarity, and with purpose.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.